The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus prayed, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you gave me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and your world has hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. About a month from now, several of our youth, including my son Finn, will graduate from high school. It has been a heady time looking back on everything that has been part of this journey, deciding what comes next, figuring out what to do, and where they want to be. Those graduates here at church include Finn, as well as Sophie Alavi, Catherine Couch, Ayla DiBattista, John Joyce, Bryson Knight, Derek Schneider, Jamie Tranchita, and Becca Waldron. And over recent months, these seniors and their families have experienced last games and last theater productions, last proms — Upper Dublin's prom was just last night — final culminating projects, and more. It is a time for looking back with gratitude, even if it's just the gratitude of having survived it all, and looking ahead to new experiences and adventures. It reminds me of that great quote from Dag Hammarskjöld: "For all that has been, thank you. For all that is to come, yes." Our gospel lesson for today has been giving me all kinds of graduation vibes this week. Today is the seventh and final Sunday of the Easter season on the church calendar. And according to tradition, Jesus spent 50 days on earth after his resurrection, instructing and commissioning his disciples before ascending into heaven. In this reading from John 17 is Jesus' prayer for his disciples after he is gone. In fact, all of John 17 is a prayer, the longest recorded prayer of Jesus in the Gospels. For Jesus knows that the disciples, too, are graduating from being the students and followers to the leaders of the Christian community, which will become the church. He prays for the disciples, much like the parent of a graduating senior might pray for their own child. It is a prayer for protection, unity, love, wisdom, and joy. Jesus prays, "Now, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I ask that you protect them, sanctify them in your truth. I have made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." As one commentator writes, this prayer is simultaneously a review and a preview. It depicts the work that Jesus has completed and prepares for what is to come. It is the completion of the revelation, a consolation, and an admonition all in one. It is both petition and intercession. And I'd add that it is a commencement, both an ending and a new beginning. Approaching our reading in this way helps us to hear Jesus' hopes and longing for his disciples, with whom he has spent an intense, challenging, and miraculous 3 years. He can no longer protect them, so he asks God to do it. He wants them to know joy in the midst of their grief at his leaving and in their transitions. He wants them to stick together, to love God, to love one another and their neighbors, to dwell in the Word and share it with others, and to abide in God even as God abides in them. Lately, I find myself praying for all these things, for Finn and for all our soon-to-be graduates. What better things to pray for those we love? But this is not just a prayer for Jesus' disciples or for our graduates, but for the disciples of all times and all places. That is, Jesus prays these same things for all of us at whatever age and stage we find ourselves. I was recently talking to Finn about prayer for his final project in his creative writing class. And for this project, Finn interviewed members of our family and extended family about their religious experiences as Christians, Jews, atheists, and agnostics. He did 7 interviews totaling 5 hours, and he turned them into 13 poems about religious identity, practice, history, faith, and doubt. He called it Push and Pull, an apt title. He asked me about prayer, and I shared how someone once described prayer to me as an outward expression of our inward longings, hopes, and desires. Whether we ask for things that are simple or outlandish, whether we pray in anger, sadness, or calm, whether we pray for a short time or a long time, we are lifting to God in so many words, or perhaps no words at all, our heart's desires and our innermost longings. While our words might be stilted or convoluted, we are lifting our hearts to God. We are expressing what matters most to us. We are holding before God our ultimate concerns. And Finn called the poem that he wrote on this Heart to Heart. Going further on that approach to prayer, I just finished reading a book by Rowan Williams, the former Archbishop of Canterbury. It's just called Being Christian. And it's a little primer on the Christian faith with just 4 short chapters on baptism, the Bible, communion, and prayer. And in it, he writes beautifully about prayer. And he says, for the Christian to pray before all else is to let Jesus' prayer happen in you. To let Jesus' prayer happen in you. And he says, prayer more and more is not something we do, but what we are letting God do in us. I had to ponder that for a while. Because when I think of prayer, I think of it as something I am doing. I am reaching across time and space to God to pray for myself and others and the world. I'm opening my heart to God. I'm coming up with whatever words may come. But I love this idea of letting Jesus' prayer happen within me. This prayer of John 17 and Jesus' larger prayer for us all. That maybe I don't need to generate it as much as I need to let it happen. That I don't need to initiate as much as I need to step out of the way and watch. To listen for God's prayer rather than come up with my own. I guess you could say that we do this when we pray the Lord's Prayer together. We are literally praying Jesus' own prayer and letting that prayer resonate and vibrate within our bodies and souls. Letting it happen in us and to us and through us, as we have done with our scripture today from John 17. Prayer, I think, can be an intimidating thing. We can worry about what to say and how to say it, when to say it, and how to do it the right way, as if there were a right way. But Jesus shows us time and again that all prayer happens within the context of a relationship with a loving God. We can say what we need to say, however we need to say it. We can use lots of words or no words at all. We can pray our prayers or let God's prayers rise up in us. Soon, Jesus will ascend into heaven. Soon, our seniors will graduate. Soon, new adventures will begin and new chapters will be written. Soon, we will replace our physical proximity to our kids with calls and texts and care packages and, perhaps most importantly, with prayer. Today, we pray for our graduates and for their families. We pray for ourselves. We pray for the world that they will enter and transform. Amen.